21 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295. Leave your contact info today at 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted that you've joined us on the broadcast today as we face the issues. Today we're talking with Congressman Mike Hill, former representative for District 1 in the Florida House. We're delighted that he's taken time out of a very busy schedule to join us in the dialogue and discussion on the subject today, the issue that we're talking about today, ABC's fake fact checkers. Congressman Hill, thank you again for joining us. And I want us to take a few moments to make a brief transition somewhat in our thinking. We've talked about the debate and that we feel that somehow, some way, the word salad Kamala Harris was able to get some questions and either through earpiece or otherwise be able to regurgitate some direct answers. But the question that I have is, did she lie? Congressman Hill, was there anything that Kamala Harris said that was a truthful answer to any question that she had tried to circumvent and then answered? For example, she said that she was not against fracking. Is that true? She said that she was not against confiscation of guns. Is that true? I could go on and on and on. Talk for a minute to our listeners about the fake, phony Kamala Harris and the lies after lies after lies that she's now telling, that is a totally different Kamala Harris that we've seen from her leadership, if you want to call it that, as a district attorney and attorney general in California, then as a senator. She was considered as the most liberal senator in the U.S. Senate while she was in the Senate, and then in the past almost 4 years, the things she's done. Tell our listeners your insight, your thoughts in relationship to, can America trust Kamala Harris? Is she truthful with any answer she gives? And give us some examples.
No, we cannot trust Kamala Harris on anything, Dr. Youngblood. And the reason being is that if she were to come out and be truthful on any issue, it would be a complete failure. And proof of that is when she ran for president previously in 2020 and had to drop out of the race. She was in dead last. It was because of the policies that she was bringing forward that she wanted to do, which essentially are communist policies. I heard President Trump say at one time during the debate, again, I didn't watch it long, not more than 5-6 minutes of it, that her father was a communist professor. He's still alive, but he was a professor and was a communist. And she grew up learning communist and economics, communistic economics. And she's sitting there shaking her head, no, even her response was a lie. Of course, she cannot tell the truth. And that's the same, Dr. Youngblood, with most Democrats and most Democrat policies. If they were to simply tell the truth, it wouldn't work. You know, they use this slogan reproductive rights, because they cannot say, don't want to say, murder a baby in the womb, mm-hmm. which is essentially what abortion is. You're murdering a baby in the womb. So they have to call it reproductive rights. They have to call it a woman's choice. They have to call it health care and all this nonsense. They can't say the truth because it would not be able to go across with the American people. With some, it will, because we have some who are on the left, some in the Democrat Party, who are, I believe, literally insane. They do things that are just downright evil. And even though they understand what the ramifications are, they will do it anyway. And so Kamala Harris cannot tell the truth in anything that she does, because she knows that if she does, and she's been coached on this, Dr. Youngblood, they tell her to not say what her prior positions are, because it is a total failure. It's a non-starter with the U.S. public.
I find it fascinating, Congressman Hill, that Bernie Sanders, of all people, told the truth about Kamala Harris. I don't know if you recall that interview with Bernie Sanders asking him the question about Kamala Harris and what she's saying. And he said, and I'm going to paraphrase, but it's right poignant to the point of what Bernie Sanders said. Bernie Sanders said, well, you must understand that she's got to say whatever's necessary to get elected, and then she can set her policies up. The general public needs to recognize what that really connotes and what it means. Congressman Hill, I'm looking at a headline, serial lies and distortions. Network stung for letting Kamala Harris get away with lies after lies after lies. The article reads, Kamala Harris, who appeared on the ABC stage to debate President Donald Trump Tuesday night, had been accused repeatedly and credibly of being a liar. She pulled out the infamous Charlottesville lie, and even leftist Snopes has documented it is all fabricated. Goes on to say, and then a prominent columnist is charging that ABC was the loser in the debate for allowing her to mislead with impunity. Goes further, she talked about Project 25, calling Trump the, the architect of Project 2025. Now, I want our listeners to understand, I know what it's about, I know what was being connotation of that, and the lies about Charlottesville, but when the average public hears that what he said at Charlottesville, what was the background of that, succinctly? And secondly, when they talk about Project 2025, and Trump backs away from it, and as you said, he tried to defend himself about Project 2025, where he ought to have just simply said, I have nothing to do with it, I didn't author that, et cetera, et cetera. Tell our listeners, what is Project 2025? What has been the results of the Heritage Foundation and the orchestrator of Project 2025, et cetera, et cetera, and about Charlottesville?
Okay, Project 2025 first, Dr. Youngblood. Full disclosure, I'm a member of the Project 2025 team, their Department of Defense team. They called me up and asked me if I would be a part of it. Project 2025 is not and was not associated with President Trump. It was the Heritage Foundation who wanted to put together policies in place so that when a Republican or a conservative, or even if a Democrat president wanted to use these policies, they were available to them. Now, these policies, of course, are all very conservative, constitutional concepts that would continue to make our country great, continue to make our republic great. And that's what Project 2025 was. They did not consult Trump. They did not consult his campaign team, as we are putting this together, like the Department of Defense team, which I'm on. And we talked about how certain things need to be corrected in our Department of Defense, that you start getting back to a force that focuses on bringing lethality to our enemies, instead of focusing on climate change and transgenderism and all that other nonsense. And starting with even our service academies, which have become leftist institutions under the Biden administration. Actually, it started back with Obama. And Trump dealt with it a bit at the service academies by appointing conservatives to the academy board, which oversees the service academies. But as soon as Biden got in office, he removed all of Trump's appointees and put in his radical left. Well, Project 2025 would do things like putting conservatives back on that board, on the Department of Defense. On the foreign policy side, they give succinct ideas on what we need to do to project U.S. strength against China, against Russia, even against the European Union. It is actually a very good document. I've read it. I'll admit, not in detail, but I've read the headlines of all the different sections that are involved there. Nothing to do with President Trump and those who head up the Heritage Foundation. Kevin Roberts, who's a friend of mine, has come out publicly and said so. He said, we did not coordinate this with President Trump at all or his campaign team. But those on the left are trying to say that he was deeply involved with this. And if I were Trump, I would say, no, I wasn't, but it's a great document. It's a great plan.
That's it. That's a good approach. Absolutely. One of the things that it is so ultra conservative that it frightens the socialist Marxist left to death when they understand the potentiality of Trump embracing it and putting it into effect. And again, I think one of the wisest things that he could do, could have done or could do, is to study Project 2025, succinctly summarize it, embrace the basic elements of that, and say, yes, that's what we would like to inculcate in our new presidency, because it frightens the left, because it is the left simply being a socialist, Marxist, communist organization today. But it's still the distortion of the facts that take place and that took place on the debate that I am fearful has gotten the attention of so many citizens that may vote incorrectly as a result of the unknown factor, just as the unknown facts that took place January the 6th and what Trump actually did. He didn't have to defend himself, but the average public does not know the real background story that Nancy Pelosi and Bowser, I believe the name, that is the mayor of D.C., rejected the offer, rejected the invitation by Trump to have the National Guard to come in to protect. They rejected it. Now they're saying that Trump did that, that he was an insurrectionist, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Then the thing that frightens me, very frankly, worries me continually, is that we have so many people that do not know the truth, do not understand the facts, and as a result of that, will make a decision to vote based on the charisma that was revealed in Kamala Harris without her word salad, without her cackling, will think, well, she won the debate, and she must be right. Trump was trying to defend himself, et cetera, et cetera. That is the danger that looms before us. But going back to the question of Charlottesville, succinctly take a moment and tell us what that was and why it's a lie.
Yes, what that was all about, Dr. Youngblood, was the removal of Confederate statues or Confederate leaders' statues. They were going to remove those in the city of Charlottesville. And there were those who showed up who said, leave these monuments alone. They're historical, they're artistic, And we need to leave them alone. And these were those who protesters who showed up who did not want those monuments removed. And then there were those, they're always on the left, who want to destroy history, who want to destroy historical artifacts, who want to destroy what was the truth, what happened. And they wanted to take the monuments down. Well, also who showed up were members of white supremacy groups who showed up who also wanted to protect the monuments. Trump made the comment and said there were good people on both sides. And he was referring to those who wanted to protect the history, those who were there peacefully, and those who said, no, we need to take it down because it represents racism and a past we've had that we don't want to acknowledge anymore. He was not saying that the white supremacists who showed up were good people. He even called them out and said, no, that is not what we stand for. That is not what we want. But what the left is doing and the media is doing is they're focusing on the fact that he said there were good people on both sides, and they're trying to attribute that to the white supremacists who showed up, even though they know better, and they're lying about it, but they want to just say, that's who you were saying were good people who were showing up, were those the white supremacists, when that's the furthest thing from the truth, and they know that.
Absolutely. In fact, that's another issue that what they call Snopes has already debunked and said that it was a lie, and yet she continues to repeat that, thinking and believing correctly, in my opinion, that multitudes will embrace that, thinking that that was his position. Congressman Hill, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Let's take a few moments and talk about the flip-flopping of Kamala. She says she is not against fracking. She said that she's not for gun confiscation, when in previous statements she has said that. Can we believe, let's just do some hypotheticals. If Kamala Harris were seated as President of the United States, would our Second Amendment rights be in danger? Would oil drilling, fracking, et cetera, be shut down in America, or would it be left open? Do we have anything to worry about with our Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms? Do we have anything to worry about our economy and the economic future of America depending on foreign nations for our oil if Kamala Harris is president?
Dr. Youngblood, if Kamala Harris becomes president, it is going to be an utter and complete disaster. And we should be concerned about all of those things. When she says that she is against fracking, hydraulic fracturing, and is shortened called fracking, is a process where they will drill, and they can drill going down and then horizontally, forcing water and other chemicals into rocks and shale that where oil is trapped, which releases that oil. And releases it in such a quantity that we became energy independent under Trump, that we did not have to accept imported oil from anyone. We were not beholden to OPEC or Venezuela or anyone else. In fact, we were exporting oil. Now, just to appease the climate change radicals, those who see their climate issue as a religion, to appease those on the left, Kamala Harris, because she is a part of that left, was completely against fracking. But then because it is so important in Pennsylvania, where it can bring a boom to that state in terms of hiring people, the revenue it would bring in, she had to say, oh, I'm not against fracking. Of course I'm for it, just to get Pennsylvania. That's the only reason she said that. And she is for gun confiscation. Everyone knows that. But like Bernie Sanders, this much I will give Bernie Sanders, even though he's crazy, he's a kook. He will tell you what he thinks truthfully. And he did it when he campaigned. He's a communist. He's a socialist Marxist. And those are the ideas he put forward. And he truthfully said, Kamala Harris is saying what she has to say right now just so she can get elected. And then once she gets elected, she is going to be even more radical than Biden was. She's going to be more radical than Obama was. But I believe, Dr. Youngblood, that she is not going to get elected. I just honestly believe that America is too great a nation to elect an imbecile as our president.
I am praying that is the case. Quickly, I've got a question. You touched on it in your opening statements right after the monologue this morning. But in Springfield, Ohio. There's, as I understand it, the material that I've read, there's about 60,000 residents there in the city or in the community, and 20,000 of those are the illegal invaders from Haiti. That's the Haitians that's there. And Trump said that very clearly. He didn't articulate long enough because he was cut off by the moderators challenging him with already having so-called fact-check information. But is it a fact? Do we know it as a fact that the Haitians in Springfield, Ohio, are literally eating the pets of the people? Or is that a fabrication, as Kamala Harris laughed and called it a fabrication? The anchors called it a fabrication and said, and I quote, said the city manager of Springfield said that it's not true. How do you work through that? What is your answer to that?
Well, I would say this, Dr. Youngblood. It is indisputable that the Haitians there are killing animals. There's documentation, there are photos of it. There are yes. videos of them walking down the street with ducks that they've taken from the city pond or whatever that they're taking with them. Now, do we have hard evidence that they are eating these animals? Unless you go in their home, you don't know that. But this much we do know, that the Haitians, when they kill these animals, and it's been ducks, cats, dogs, that when they kill them, we know this for a fact, that in Haiti, they use that as part of their religious rituals. Their demonic
witchcraft and voodoo, yes.
That's right. It's all demonic, and they use it for that. So whatever they use it for, either those demonic witchcraft rituals or eating, both are abominable and should be stopped. In fact, we need to deport those Haitians who are there. They should not even be there. And I agree with Trump 100%. He says, day one, we are deporting. You're going to see the largest mass deportation in history. And he needs to get them out of there, send them back to Haiti. You know, you created a terrible situation in Haiti, and we're not going to let you bring that to the United States.
Yes. Congressman Hill, I'm looking at a headline. 20,000 Haitians overwhelm Ohio City. Residents report slaughtered and eaten animals, increasing traffic accidents. Here's the brief, and this is a five-page article. I'll read a couple of brief paragraphs. Residents in Springfield, Ohio, are sounding the alarm about the increased Haitian nationals overwhelming the city's resources and causing an uptick in traffic accidents. One local report made the rounds on social media over the weekend, stirring up rumors that some of the illegal immigrants were stealing and eating residents' pets. Quote, grabbing up ducks by their neck, cutting their heads off, and publicly eating them. One reader said, my neighbor informed me that her daughter's friend had lost her cat. One day she came home from school. As soon as she stepped out of the car, looked toward the neighbor's house where Haitians live, she saw her cat hanging in one of the branches in the tree where the animal was being hung like a deer for butchering. They were carving it up to eat, end quote. The residents claimed that their neighbor's dogs, as well as their ducks and geese at the local park, are also being butchered, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a pretty well-documented article coming from the residents, and I've watched some of the video footage of media interviewing some of the residents, validating and attributing the facts that these Haitians are publicly slaughtering and eating the animals and the pets. And it's part of the witchcraft and the voodooism that takes place in Haiti that's permeating now our soil in America. And those Haitians are there. The general public may not recognize or understand this. They're there because under the Harris-Biden administration, they were plucked up from Haiti, flown into America, and dropped into cities. And one of the major cities, the little small town of Springfield, Ohio, 20,000 placed there at one time. Now, Congressman Hill, I've got some information here that I want your take on. The article says Kamala Harris will be installed as president before Election Day, says Cash Patel. Kash Patel, former Department of Defense Chief and Staff and Deputy Director of National Intelligence under President Trump, believes that Kamala Harris will be installed as president before the 2024 election. Patel shares this belief with President Biden, that President Biden might step down, hand the reins of the presidency over to his vice president in a carefully orchestrated political move designed to shield Biden's embattled family. Patel speculated that a deal could already be in the works whereby Biden will step down to ensure that Harris assumes power before the election. What is your take on that? What are your thoughts?
Well, I read that article also, Dr. Youngblood, and the article went on to say that once Kamala Harris is installed as president, that she will pardon Hunter Biden, yes, any of the other family members, including Joe Biden. But the thing is you can only pardon someone once they have been indicted and found guilty for a crime. So that would be Hunter Biden only at this point. The rest of the family members, they've been investigated by the Republicans, but they have not been indicted, as far as I know. They have not been found guilty of anything, even though I believe they are. The evidence is there. So they can't be pardoned for something that they hadn't done yet. The same with Joe Biden. Joe Biden has profited immensely on what his family has done, to the tunes of tens of millions of dollars from Ukraine, from China, and other countries who are using his position and his name through family members to enrich his family. It's well documented. But he hasn't been brought up on any charges of that yet. He hasn't been impeached. He hasn't been found guilty of a crime, so he can't be pardoned from that. So even though I can see what Kash Patel is saying, I think the speculation is too much at this point. And, you know, Joe Biden can pardon his son himself if he wants to. Mm-hmm. He can pardon his family members. He can't pardon himself, but he can pardon the others. So I think what Kash Patel is saying is too much right now, because Joe Biden hasn't been impeached yet and will not be impeached. So even if the House does it, the Senate is not going to hold the trial and vote on it.
Congressman Hill, we've got about 15 seconds before the broadcast is over today. Would you take these last few seconds and challenge and counsel our listeners as Christians and conservatives? How should we live? What should we do?
What we should do, Dr. Youngblood, is not become bitter by what we see is happening around us. We have a blessed hope before us. And that hope is now. And then when this life is over, beyond, through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Congressman Hill, thank you for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for getting with us on Let's Face the Issues, joining in with your dialogue and discussion. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological.
If you've ever been in a health crisis, or maybe someone in your family was dealing with one, you know it can be one of the most challenging and even lonely times in life. And in that moment, when you have a difficult